You could save big when you bundle your home and auto with Progressive, but when we just come out and say it, it feels like it falls a bit flat. So instead, we're going to hire a professional voice actor and pay him absurd amounts of money to say,
I like this product.
Not sure why that was better. I mean, I'm a professional too, but we didn't pay him to say the business part, so back to me. Save big when you bundle your home and auto with Progressive. Sorry, I know hearing me say it was a bit of a letdown. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discount not available in all states or situations.
This episode is brought to you by Verizon. Get a Verizon Business Unlimited plan from the network businesses rely on. Hey, Monica, with 5G Ultra Wideband in many more cities, you get up to 10 times the speed at no extra cost.
Hello, downloads in no time.
Plus, unlimited premium data and hotspot data to keep the signal flowing and your teams going. Come in or book an appointment with a Verizon business expert to find the right plan for your team. 5G Ultra Wideband available in over 1,700 cities with Business Unlimited Pro 2.0 smartphone plan. Speed comparison is to median Verizon 4G LTE speeds. Download speeds may vary depending upon network and coverage conditions and content optimization for 5G Ultra Wideband.
Don't miss your free chance to tune into Benzinga's very own bootcamp series on November 20th. If you're looking to dive into new concepts and grow your account, this one's for you.
What's up, y'all? Welcome to a brand new week. And we are in the heart of earnings season. It has been a busy one. If you don't know, I'm Elliot Lane. I am the host of Cannabis Hour. I also host Cannabis Daily every day at 10 a.m. It's like 5 to 10 minutes of cannabis stock news, insights, what's happening. Obviously, been a little bit longer than 5 minutes recently with the earnings that have been coming out. But check us out, Benzinga.com/podcasts. Tons of great content. Rate, review us. But we have a fun one today. This is a special, of course. And we are going to welcome in momentarily Nick Vita, the CEO of Columbia Care, to dive into his earnings. And I want to call your attention. CCHWF is the OTC ticker. People are very happy with his performance and the performance of Columbia Care this past quarter in Q3. There has been a little bit of talk about misses, but honestly, it doesn't look like anybody cares. So I am super thrilled to chat with him. This is going to be a fun conversation. We're going to get his insights on what's happened. I want to run through a lot of the markets that he's in and some of the successes he's had, and we'll go. So Aaron Thomas, my man with the plan who makes us all happen. Let's bring him over. There he is. Nick, hey, how are you, my friend?
Great. How's everything going?
It's good. It's good. It's a busy time, you know, and I say that full well knowing last week is like, it's like hell week for you guys. It is what it is, you know, but I get the pleasure of just reading a press release and reporting on it. So I know you're probably drinking a little whiskey, maybe smoking a pre-roll. I don't know what you do to relax, but I'm sure you did it.
Well, we are happy with the way things went. It was, you know, what we've been telling the street and we've been telling investors is that, you know, we are going to really be leaning into our margin story and our profitability. And I think that we hit our inflection point this quarter. We, you know, should expect to see that continue for the next several quarters. And, you know, all the investment we've been making in our markets to create this national platform, I think is starting to really pay off. And so we're very, very happy about how things went.
Oh, national platform. Those are the two key words that I think are the overarching thesis of our conversation, because you have touch points in a ton of different markets and successful touch points. And, you know, I'd love to kind of, let's run through those a little bit. So first and foremost, I want to start off with, I think what was a really heavily marketed point a day for you guys was your launch of whole flower sales in New York, and being the first to do that. So I'd love to chat with you a little bit about what that means to Columbia Care for that market specifically.
Well, New York is, you know, I think New York is going to be the second largest cannabis market in the world. I think, and if you look at the unregulated market, it probably already is. We have the single largest cannabis manufacturing facility on the East Coast in New York State, out in Long Island. And we are going to be the most scaled party that's involved, at least in the medical program, from a supply chain perspective. For us to be able to launch whole flower in New York was after many, many years of sort of, you know, basically negotiations and sort of advocating for the consumers and for patients throughout New York State. And so when we brought flower to market, what it's done is it's opened the door to really see a sea change in the way the New York State thinks about the opportunity in medical cannabis and adult use cannabis, and it certainly changes the dynamic relative to the unregulated markets.
Yeah, and this sets you up for walking into the adult use market, which I think is fantastic. And obviously we're all waiting for with open arms. As a New York City resident, I can tell you we're excited for it. So, you know, I think the markets, you did the same thing in Virginia though, right? You were one of the first to market there.
First to market in Virginia, and we're the most scaled operator in Virginia as well. And so that's another, you know, another transition market where we're moving from a medical only to an adult use environment. And, you know, we feel very, very good about both the wholesale and retail opportunities. We're building out new dispensaries. We've got the largest home delivery capacity down there. And we also have the largest sort of cultivation and manufacturing infrastructure. So for us, Virginia seems to be like it's tracking in the right way. And, you know, both New York and Virginia and New Jersey, you know, all three states are going through this massive, massive sort of update to the regulations to really expand the market opportunity.
I mean, your assets are almost as impressive as the numbers. It's incredible. You know, I think, you know, you opened up a new dispensary in New Jersey or dispensaries in Missouri. You know, you're in a ton of states. Florida is one I want to touch on really quickly as well. But before I do that, I'd love your concept in terms of how you grow Columbia Care and your team grows Columbia Care on breadth versus depth. And, you know, how deep you feel you need to be in any particular state market to have success, or is it different for each market?
So look, our goal is always to be one of the top players in every market. Every market is slightly different. I think for many years, people were scratching their heads wondering why breadth versus depth mattered. And I think what they're beginning to realize is that it matters because every market is different and every market is at a different stage in development. So we have some very mature markets like Colorado and California. You know, we're the largest operator in California. Or Colorado, then we have some very new markets like West Virginia, Missouri, and Utah. They're just coming online. And then we have everything else in between. But I think the real way to accelerate growth and accelerate expansion is to be well positioned in advance of that transition from medical to adult use. And that's precisely what we've tried to do.
As you transition, I mean, how important does medical become in these states? You know, is it full scale shift towards adult use, or do you still have a very strong medical grounding?
So our history was medical to begin with. And, you know, we feel very strongly about the medical benefits of cannabis for patients. So the way we think about it is very simple. We transition to adult use when adult use becomes available, and we do that successfully. You know, we're one of the top operators in Massachusetts. We have a great wholesale business and retail business in Illinois. You're going to see us really outperform in places like Virginia, New York, New Jersey when those transitions happen. But we don't want to forget about medical. Medical is still going to be about 20-25% of the market. So if you think about New York State as one, you know, just sort of one precedent, if New York State is going to be between $5 and $7 billion, that means the medical market is going to be $1 billion, maybe more. And so, you know, I think it's wonderful that people are, that our competitors are so focused on adult use, but we don't want to sort of forsake one at the expense of the other. And so that's why we've built a platform that allows us to really continue to lean into medical while also taking advantage and really leaning into adult use.
And would you say medical patients really were the ones that fought for cannabis for so long? Right. They're the ones that are kind of the backbone of this industry. And it's great that companies like Columbia Care don't forget about that, I think. I'm not sure if you want to comment on that.
You know, you're 100% right. If it hadn't been for the medical debate, none of this would be possible. And, you know, whether it's my own family or sort of my circle of friends or people who I care about deeply, you know, everyone knows somebody who has been touched by cannabis and in a very profoundly positive way. And that's the sort of, it's not just about gratitude. It's also about the mission and the way we build our company, knowing that everybody from the cultivators to the manufacturing teams, to the dispensary teams, to the folks in, you know, the accounting departments, understand that our number one priority is to try to make people's lives better. I think gives us an edge in terms, you know, and that edge really becomes material when you think about the way we're forced to have independent businesses, you know, in each market across the country.
Well, that takes me to a little bit of the corporate versus culture discussion that has been so prevalent recently. You know, even in industry events such as Benzinga's, such as MJ Biz, you see that conversation happening. You know, and that turns my attention toward California. And you all having such a presence there, yet there still being such a resistance to corporate cannabis. How are you all tackling that?
Well, you know, corporate cannabis and, you know, it's funny. I think the big distinction isn't really between corporate and non-corporate cannabis. It's between, you know, regulated and unregulated cannabis. And I think that there are a number of entrepreneurs that would eventually do very well by converting into the corporate landscape or into the regulated landscape. But understanding that the products that people are actually putting in or on their body are regulated and tested, and they have the type of quality that they should expect, that is the number one priority for us. Mm-hmm. All of the, the sort of, let's call it the community benefits from a taxation perspective, and the way those dollars can be recycled back into communities across the country is a sort of an ancillary benefit, which, can't be ignored either. But the fact is that, I think the way the California market evolved, it opened the door for a lot of very high quality, very skilled, very talented people to sort of become entrepreneurs. And I think it's up to the industry and up to regulators and up to policymakers to find a way to bring those entrepreneurs into a regulated format so that they can benefit from the same opportunities that regulated entities can benefit from.
Regulation, policy. Don't take me down that legislative discussion here, Nick. We'll be here all day. But in terms of Columbia Care's specific growth opportunity, I know you touch on a national level with regulated versus unregulated, but when I look at California directly, do you see a big growth opportunity there for Columbia Care, or do you turn more towards Florida, more towards Colorado for that depth?
So I think California is a huge market opportunity because it's so fragmented, because it is still sort of a work in progress. In spite of it being the oldest market, one of the oldest markets in the United States, it hasn't really found its footing yet because there are so many complexities at the local and at the state level between the regulated and the unregulated markets because of the historical, basically, proliferation of the unregulated supply chain. And so, for us, I think one of the best things that we do is to create structure and create a framework around which, we and others can basically build a real business. And for us, one of the most important things about building a business isn't just about building the quote unquote a business. It's about building an opportunity set. And I know people love to talk about sort of the entrepreneurs that were in the unregulated market and the way the regulated versus the unregulated market interplays with one another. But a big part of what we do is about hiring people, training them, and having them grow with the organization. And pun intended. And so, I can't tell you the number of people who started off as, junior associates at a dispensary, and now they're running big parts of our business. And I love that story. I love the mm-hmm. fact that people have real corporate opportunity. They have opportunities to develop and to branch out and to really shine in a way that may not have otherwise been possible had we not built a corporate structure. Mm-hmm. And those are the people that are now, the breadwinners in their families, and they're really, they're providing better lives for everyone around them. And so it's not just about our serving the communities and our serving sort of the patients and the consumers. It's about really making sure that the whole organization embraces that idea that this is an opportunity for everyone to grow and develop and to become and to get to a better place.
Fantastic. And obviously some social equity discussion within what you were just saying.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Nick. I want to touch on a number real quick, which I've been hinting at this whole conversation, which is revenue in Florida particularly up 241% year over year. Now you put a lot of emphasis into rebranding your dispensaries to cannabis. How much of that is attributable to that, and or what is the cause of that increase?
So what's great is that we haven't even, the transition to cannabis is starting now. And so that's underway. I think that the thing that we took our time to really develop in Florida to sort of get to this point where we're now, we're running a very profitable business down there. We really spend a lot of time developing the right supply chain and developing the right products. One of the things I love about markets like Florida is that, whenever a new market comes online, you have consumers that are just excited to have access to cannabis. And all of a sudden, those consumers become really sophisticated very quickly, and they start developing preferences, and then they start sort of becoming connoisseurs. The fact is the connoisseurs are our best allies in the industry because they know where the best products are. And that's how we've been able to sort of really maintain price discipline and how we've been able to grow our business, because we're not trying to be all things to all people. We're really trying to be the sort of the right things to the type of consumers that we've sort of built the business around to serve. And, and so when you look at the way we've made investments over the past 2 years in both indoor grow and manufacturing, when you look at the way we've sort of, complemented some of our greenhouse grows and then built that infrastructure, and then the way we train our people and base and have built out our dispensary network, all of it has been everything takes longer than you hope it does, but it's come out in a very, very positive place because we're able to deliver the value proposition and the quality of the products that our consumers are looking for.
Very nice. And that takes me to an interesting discussion that I had with Jesse Chan and your chief growth officer about forage, about you understanding consumer trends before they become a trend. Yeah. And understanding that data via product, I think it's kind of a survey data software, if you will. If you could explain that a little bit and how that's played into your growth for a record quarter.
So it's one of the things that we've always tried to do very well, and we haven't always done very well. But understanding the market, because cannabis, unlike any other consumer product or any other medical product, doesn't have that much industry data, doesn't have that much sort of background information, like who is a cannabis user? Why are they using it? Those are questions that we've continually tried to answer. You know, what cannabinoids matter most to people? What are the products and the form factors that are most attractive to what type of consumer? And so understanding those differentiated subsegments of the market has been really important for us. And what Forage has enabled us to do is to engage with a consumer both in the store and outside the store and really sort of be part of their journey, their canna curious journey, as they understand more about what works for them, what they like the most, and it's engaged. So yes, there's a survey element to it, but there's also an AI element to it that's been built into the platform that helps people really think through what it is they're looking for. And that type of information not only allows us to sort of deliver the type of value to an individual and personalize that experience better than anyone else, because that information then becomes sort of part of the way we think about sort of offering the people we serve, offering the communities we serve, the types of products that we manufacture and sell. But it also allows us to make our business more efficient. So we actually carry the right products, right? Our teams in manufacturing and cultivation know what they should be making. And that's a real-time adjustment. So it affects all these different parts of our business that people don't see. But most important, it impacts the piece of our business that people see most clearly, which is the piece that is personally related to their experience. And it's, you know, I'm very excited about this, the introduction of Forage along with cannabis, because what that does is it turns cannabis into a much different scenario than simply, you know, bringing in, you know, a different color paint and new couches. This is an entirely new way that someone can actually think about cannabis in their lives. And it can really help them optimize that experience in a very personalized manner, which, you know, can't be achieved. That you can't get that kind of scale without the type of technology platform that we've developed.
AI. I mean, that's such a key word in biotech and healthcare and now cannabis. And I want to stress that this is all in-house. I mean, that's super impressive. Has that had you bring on a lot of new people to help develop that? Or is that something that, you know, you were able to start accumulating and grow over time?
So we hired the right people. We didn't hire a lot of people. We hired the right people who believe deeply in the mission and the opportunity. And Jesse has done a fantastic job of bringing those expertise into our organization. And so we're very lucky to have the people we have. And, you know, I will be forever grateful for the type of the diversity of individuals we've been able to bring on board who think about the world through a whole lot of different lenses, not just finance, not just cannabis, not just technology, but all of the above.
Well, and one last question about Forage. How does it differentiate between markets? So, I mean, does it help you understand that people in Florida are looking for more help in the evenings, you know, for sleep, whereas people in California want more energy during the day? Does it work like that, or is it more on a national level?
Both. And so it's hyper-local. So if you can imagine, Orlando is very different than Palm Beach. You know, Boston is very different than Chicago. DC is very different than Lowell, Massachusetts. And so understanding those hyper-local markets, and because this is a very, very local industry, and it's a very local and it's a very personalized experience. Because, you know, what I always remind people, you know, I think everyone loves to talk about this as being a consumer product or a medical product. The difference is that if it was a medical product, it would be reimbursed. And if it was a consumer product, it probably wouldn't have the same type of cost associated with it. So this is for me, is a very, whether it's branded as such or not, it's a very high-end expense, and it's a very important expense that people need to make the right decisions for. And so what Forage allows us to do is to aggregate data nationally, to aggregate it locally, to aggregate it at the state level, and to really see the way different markets are evolving. And they are evolving very, very differently. You know, West Virginia is going to be a sea change from what we're seeing in California. But for example, in Missouri, how do we know which products are going to be evolving fastest? How do we know how to serve that community as best? It can't simply be by looking at our experience in Illinois and Florida and New York. And so understanding, you know, that personalization, I mean, this is an industry that because it's so new, it hasn't had the benefit of a lot of the technologies and a lot of the resources by design that a lot of industries have access to. I mean, we can't even use the banking system. So you think about that, right? Those basic things. And so by being able to bring this capability into the industry, we think that it's incredibly valuable, because now you start thinking about it from the perspective of people who aren't fairly familiar with cannabis, right? People, you know, everyone loves to talk about how this is going to be a $100 billion industry. Well, that means by definition that you have to have a lot of people coming into the industry from a consumer's perspective or from a medical perspective. And that cannot happen unless people have trust, unless they have confidence, and unless they have self-assuredness. And that's what Forage allows us to do. You can make the best product in the world, but if it's not relevant to the person who wants to buy it, you know, it's never really going to get a fair shake. Mm-hmm. And so it's one of those things where it's a wonderful way for us to sort of reach out and provide that type of capability in a way that, you know, one would expect from Apple or from, you know, from Tesla or from any other sort of very high quality, innovative organization.
Well said, Nick. The type of organization that must go into the hyperlocal data. It's impressive. But I want to get to one last question for you. You don't have to say anything you can't say. It's not that type of show. But in terms of looking ahead, Q4, you know, in your earnings call, you mentioned more M&A to come. So, you know, there's a lot of buzz. You made some buzz on Twitter, my friend, and people are guessing. they are in full guessing mode. Right now on you know, who's next, what's next. But tell us a little bit about your strategy moving forward. What can we see from Columbia Care moving into 2022 into Q4?
So from a very high level, what you're going to expect to see from us is focus sort of very, very aggressively on sort of internal operations and continue to drive the margins, but primarily EBITDA margins, so profitability. You're going to see us transition all of our markets from, you know, we only have a handful of markets at this point that are not generating EBITDA, but that will change. For first quarter, all of our markets will be EBITDA positive. And so you'll have, I think for the first time in the history of the industry, or at least one of the first times, you'll have a national platform with a lot of markets, and every single market is actually contributing to the profitability profile. And that's a very big deal. In terms of M&A, we're looking, you know, it's as complicated to do a small deal as it is a large deal. But, you know, I've always believed in the kind of the premise of aim small, miss small. Now, that being said, if opportunities come up to be more strategic, we certainly will. You know, the one thing I'm very proud to say is that the team that runs our M&A organization and our M&A department has always brought very smart, very financially disciplined opportunities to the table. And so, you know, capital allocation is something that I take very seriously. And so being able to sort of look at the landscape and find things that not only fit our financial and strategic profile is a little bit like finding a needle in a stack of needles. But we've been able to do it before, and we're going to continue looking. And so I actually am very enthusiastic about the way the markets are evolving and the way consolidation, you know, frankly, should continue to accelerate going into some sort of federal legalization scheme.
Well, and there an analyst who will remain unnamed here hinted at a potential exit, which I was surprised at. I'm not going to lie. I was like, excuse me? I won't get your opinion on that, but the laugh tells me as much as I need to know. Nick, appreciate you being here, my friend. Anything else? Any last words for our viewers?
No, look, I think today is a really interesting day. I mean, I'm so happy to have this conversation with you, because, you know, the Republicans are the ones coming out with their plan to legalize. I mean, this is the world we're in right now, and I think it's I can't tell you how important it is that we have bipartisan, genuine bipartisan support, right? Forget about the politics and, you know, all of the vitriol. The fact of the matter is this is one issue that everyone seems to agree on. And how, you know, in a very simplistic way, from a capital markets, from a consumer benefit, from a community benefit, from a state benefit perspective, right? That is a rarity. And so the fact that we can have this conversation today, you know, the street's been, you know, been very good to us in terms of sort of recognizing the improvements we've made in our business, but just as important, seeing on the landscape that this is an issue that's going to get real tailwinds behind it is something that I'm very encouraged by.
Absolutely, my friend. Thank you so much for being here. Really appreciate your time, Nick. Everyone, this is Nicholas Vita, CEO of Columbia Care, CCHWF on the OTC, and I think CCHW on the CSE, if I'm not mistaken. So thank you again, Nick. Really appreciate it, my friend. We will talk to you again very soon.
Great. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Take care. Interview, y'all. You as well. Thank you all so much for tuning in. This has been a earnings call interview with Nick Vita. As you saw, CEO of Columbia Care. If you missed it, just play it back. I mean, the man had a ton of insight into Columbia Care, into the national footprint that he's building, into these different markets. And I'm really excited to have a follow-up call with him after Q4 and after the financial year of 2021. Maybe we'll dive into it again. Check out his stock. People are really liking what he's done over there this quarter. This is Elliot Lane with Cannabis Hour. I do Cannabis Daily, so I have to think which cannabis show I'm doing when I say that. But please tune in every Thursday at 4 o'clock every day on our podcast channel at 10 a.m. We'll see you again tomorrow.
Did you know nearly all stock price changes of 10% or more result from a single news headline? That's right. News headlines have a unique ability to drive stock prices up or down. These news catalysts create trading opportunities every day. All you need is a little help to reach out and take them. And if you're looking to grow your portfolio, it doesn't matter if your investment budget is small or big. An easy-to-read stream of news headlines will increase your opportunities to profit from price changes in the stock market, consolidate a knowledge-based investment strategy, and grow your portfolio. All you need is Benzinga Pro and its powerful news alerts, price tracking, and portfolio monitoring to make a positive change in your trading performance. We've already helped thousands of retail traders across the world, and they could not be happier. Increase your market knowledge, boost your exposure to big movers, and make informed trades before major price changes. The opportunities are all around you. Subscribe now, and we'll skyrocket your portfolio today.
This episode is brought to you by Verizon. Get a Verizon Business Unlimited plan from the network businesses rely on. Hey, Monica, with 5G Ultra Wideband in many more cities, you get up to 10 times the speed at no extra cost.
Hello, downloads in no time.
Plus, unlimited premium data and hotspot data to keep the signal flowing and your teams going. Come in or book an appointment with a Verizon business expert to find the right plan for your team. 5G Ultra Wideband available in over 1,700 cities with Business Unlimited Pro 2.0 smartphone plan. Speed comparison is to median Verizon 4G LTE speeds. Download speeds may vary depending upon network and coverage conditions and content optimization for 5G Ultra Wideband.
In the wee hours of the night, when everyone else is fast asleep, you're the one on third shift, burning the midnight oil. When a part fails and everything comes to a grinding halt, regardless of what the clock on the wall says, you leap into action. Grainger is with you and all the ones who get it done. With 24/7 customer support by phone or click to chat. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.